Our Father in heaven, we thank thee for the promise of Zion's treasures, which we know now but in part, and yet long before the glory to come. We pray, Lord, that thou would quicken us by thy Holy Spirit, that we may so love thee and so love our neighbours, that we may glorify thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Amen. Psalm 127, continuing from this morning, a song of degrees, one of the songs of ascent to the worship of God, and this one written for Solomon, subscribed to Solomon, and the theme, of course, of these songs of ascent is coming to worship God, and we were saying this morning, except the Lord build the house, they labour in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows. For so he giveth his beloved sleep. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. The building of the Lord's house, the Lord's work, and we're so thankful that it is the Lord's work, not our own work. And we applied this text, except the Lord build the house, they labour in vain that build it, this morning, to the individual life. The Lord Jesus spoke of building the house on the rock. That is the Christian life, built on him. Except that, it's in vain, it'll be destroyed by winds and rain, and in judgment day, without a saviour. How could one ever live like that? We thank God for the amazing grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then secondly, we spoke of the house. The house in the Bible means the family. And so the idea of building a family. We could think of the home if we're on our own. We still have a home if we're a single person. A place which is we dedicate it to the Lord, if you like to use such an expression. And the glories of the Christian home. Again, the Lord's work. How precious. And we come now this evening to look at the house as in the sense of it being the church and indeed of the nation, the kingdom, as it's called here, the city. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. But first of all, to the sense of the church, the house of the Lord, as we often use that expression. The church, in the local context, is a group of these families. People think of the church as individuals, which we are. It's correct. But we have these stages, and it's right to think in terms of the church being a group of families, whether we're single families or large families. And that it's the mini churches of our homes. They all come, and we all assemble together. And of course, there's interaction between us. We'll discuss. We consider what is the church. Of course, there's a visible church, a helpful definition, and an invisible church. You think an invisible church sounds like a rather strange thing. Well, it isn't really as invisible as it sounds like it is. It still has an effect in the world. The visible church is the people that go to church, basically. The invisible church are the people that really belong to Christ, the converted, the born-again Christians. They are the visible, the invisible church. I hope I got that clear. The visible church, churchgoers, the invisible church, true Christians. And this distinction helps us to understand the things, because we're really talking particularly of the invisible church. Though it is seen It is within the visible church. In a country such as ours, which has had Christianity for so many, I was going to say years, but centuries, over 1,000 years, the church is mainly made up of people who've been brought up in the church. These people, in turn, bring their own children up in the Christian faith. These children are part of the church from birth, of the visible church. Of course, they have to become part of the invisible church by conversion. We believe they should be baptized as part of the church, as a sign of the gospel that God promises to his people. Thou shalt be saved and thy house. The same way as the Old Testament children were circumcised. Because of this normal way of continuing the church, the family role that we previously spoke about this morning, the Christian home, the Bible in the home, prayer in the home, and of course seeking to obey God in the home, both parents and children. Of course, This family role is vital for the church. Otherwise, it's just thought of as being superficial, hypocritical. Christians on Sunday, not the rest of the week, etc. But of course, we seek to preach the gospel to those outside of the church, outside of our families, who know little or nothing of Christ. But we must nevertheless never use evangelism, preaching, as an excuse to neglect the spiritual nurture of our families. We can go one way or the other sometimes. Some people are just so concerned that their brother or sister or mother or child will be saved that they don't look outwards very far. They don't really care about anyone else. We must do both things in the church. We have a special promise from God, as it were, for our children. We really believe that God would bless us with our families. But nevertheless, we still look out to all that are lost. The gospel is to preach to every creature. So this is gives you some sort of a feel of what the church is that the Lord builds. You see, and that section in our psalm of the children being emphasized in the last three verses of this, the special heritage of the Lord that's promised. You see, how we can be having a good faith for our children, even in these wicked days. The Bible talks of building a house, not only then in terms of individual salvation and of the family, but also of the church. I was glad when they said unto me, you probably remember this from a few weeks ago, Psalm 122, verse 1. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. House or building of the Lord is none other than the Christian church. We're not talking about going to the temple here, are we? We are thinking of the people of God coming together. Be sure that as we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, as it says, other foundation can no man lay, in verse 11, than that which is laid, which is Christ Jesus. Now this verse is often applied generally in the Christian context about the foundation and this building work. But if, as we read from that chapter, you see Paul is speaking about the building up of the churches on this foundation, this building work. And you may be interested to know that the word house used here and the building, it's from the same word. It appears to be in the Hebrew. The word house comes from the word building, so that's why it has these various meanings: building, growing, making things. So this is specifically 1 Corinthians being applied to the work of the building of the church on this foundation, which is Christ Jesus. Let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon. The building work continues with building upon the foundation. the Lord's building that is not in vain. There are some churches that are built up, they're so big, but they're in vain. They're not building on this foundation. But this is very, very important. The foundation of Christ Jesus. We talked of faith and repentance and the belief in the judgment and resurrection and the ordinances of God. Foundations, building on these foundations. It goes on to show in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 the different ways that people build. Sometimes they build with gold, preciousness, from the basis of faith, and the people come to Christ and then they go on from there. And sometimes they build with wood, hay and stubble. Sometimes with gold, silver and precious stones. Now what these things are indicating to us, that there can be better churches than others, better ways of going on. The simple one of wood, hay and stubble, of worthless things being added into the worship of God, they will still be saved. But we should be looking for the precious way to the church to be built here. The Lord's building the house, that the labour is not in vain. We want to be seeking the Lord's will in what we're doing, not just our own ideas and doing our own thing. In a way you could say that there aren't really any bad churches, because a bad church isn't really a church, but there's a point where you're somewhere in between, really. But there are definitely some, we would say, that, well, they're really not churches at all. They don't have the true gospel proclaimed. That is the main thing, really. It's not the true gospel there. It's just people getting together, singing songs. But is it really a church? You can say that. But there is another danger. And that is that the work of the church can be done badly, even in true churches. And it's a very difficult thing, very difficult task. Except the Lord build the house, they labour in vain that build it. So we really need the Lord's help in what we're doing here. Haggai preached about this in that passage we read from Haggai. You know from your childhood perhaps, my favourite toy was Lego, and you could build hotels and houses and all sorts of wonderful things. And I know girls like dolls and dolls houses and playing with their house, and they work on their little house and they make it very, very lovely. A wonderful little project it is. But adults aren't meant to be like that. We're supposed to be working on the Lord's house. And Haggai was very good at a very successful preacher, and it's not always the case. We spoke this morning about Noah, and only his family listened, but when Haggai spoke, the whole people got changed. They changed, and that was the Lord worked in them. And before Haggai spoke to them, the people, their big concern was their ceilings in their own houses. And we like a nice ceiling, the little ornate bits. They haven't got much in this room, but in some they do those nice edge pieces, and you can go into builders' places and architectural salvage, and you can get the most lovely edges on ceilings, and you can have paintings and all sorts of things. And in Haggai's time, their ceiled houses were very magnificent. And this was their big concern. Today we've got all sorts of other features in our houses, and you can go into these shops, and there's one after another, and it can take up your whole time making your house more than just a good, comfortable, functional house, but really every detail. You can go on and on and on. And Haggai showed the foolishness of this and the sinfulness of it. That, as we read, he said to them, consider your ways, consider your ways. And then he goes on to explain, you've sown much, you've done a lot of work, bring in little. You eat, but have not enough. Drink, but you're not filled with drink. You clothe you, but there is none warm. You don't get real warmth from clothes. Real warmth is from God, you see. He that earneth wages to put into a bag with holes. No, the money's just gone. That's what it's like, a bag or a pocket with holes in it. And it shows you that if you're just living for yourself, without living for the Lord's work, you'll never be happy. It's a wonderful chapter to preach from, Haggai. And then to see how the people then turn to the Lord's work and they know the Lord's blessing. If the Lord's house is neglected, the work of the church of God, the worship of God, if it's neglected, then the building, even of one's own house, however wonderful that home may be, it's in vain. What a terrible tragedy it is for so many today. There's all these property programs on television, people renovating their houses, great energy going into it, and it needs to be done, of course. Old houses in England, 100 years old, they need work done on them. But all that energy, and without working on the house of the Lord, without coming to Christ, seeking His glory, all in vain. What a terrible indictment it is on our nation. We have the case in our psalm of those that work from early until late, but have nothing to show for it. It's just the same here. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so He giveth His beloved sleep. Some people work very, very hard, yet without the Lord, vain, desolation, coming to destruction. Terribly sad. So we must feel very sorry for people who are in this sort of situation and really want to tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ. Three times in this psalm it says vain. Except the Lord build the house, they labour in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. A watchman getting up early, looking out. But if the Lord's not protecting the city, it's in vain. And then the worker, the hard worker, still in vain. Without the Lord, you'll have a vain house that cannot be built, a city that cannot be secure, and work that never comes to a conclusion. Such a life is a recipe for death through stress. If not, then in the end, turns out under the judgment of God. In contrast, those who wait upon the Lord, and I mean by that also that serve the Lord, that have a concern for the people of God, the church of God, they are, as Isaiah says, they renew their strength, and they mount up with wings as eagles, while the youth faint and are weary. End of Isaiah chapter 40, there's well known, I'm referring to a well known section. So the work here is also described as the city with the watchman. The work of building the house of God. Also, it's the watchman being awake, looking after the city. And this reminds us that there's often in a case, there's a certain situation in a church where it's established. And that there's always a building going on, really, but there's certain things are established. Maybe our doctrines are well established. We may have a lot of work to do in lots of ways, but some things are established and we need to be watchful. The watchman watches for danger, like the good shepherd watches over his flock. Watch out, there's a bear coming, get rid of it. Well, not in England, but there's a bear or a lion coming to get the sheep, or a fox coming to get the lamb, and the good shepherd watches. And so this is the sort of way that the church must be kept carefully. Spiritually, there are many dangers to the people in terms of error and heresy, and these needed to be guarded against. When we come across people come in with excessive teaching, strange teachings, right, I have to warn you about them and say, no, this isn't the way to go. Be careful if you're following hay and stubble building on this foundation. You don't need that. You need good teaching. Psalm 11 verse 3 warns even more fundamentally, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? And some teachings come in and they destroy the very foundation of the gospel. like the Roman Catholic Church, takes away assurance. You have to, you can't just trust in Jesus, you must trust in them. Trust in priests and the Mass and your own works. Terrible. Destroys the foundation, and the cults do the same thing. The church is, we need to pray to be kept from error, from heresy. We need to always be repentant. I'm not picking on any one of us, on any one particular thing. We must have a close, humble walk with God. Our bishop yesterday at Benson was very wonderful on bringing out the stupidity and rebellion of Christians. He said, nevertheless, was the word from the Psalms. Nevertheless, the Lord saved them. And so we're humble, broken, but nevertheless, a great hope and trust we have. Pray to the Lord for this, that he'll keep us, that he won't do with us as he did with the churches in Revelation, who were warned, repent, repent, and they didn't. And their churches were closed and finished with. Ask him to build this congregation. Pray that we don't go off the rails. Pray that we keep to the Bible. What a great house it is, the house of the Lord. Hebrews chapter 3 talks of Moses being faithful in his house. Wonderful Moses. But speaks of Christ being as superior to Moses as the builder is superior to the house itself. You think, what a house, what a wonderful house. The builder. I think too much about the builder always, but it's a great thing that it's been done by a builder. And how much more the building that the Lord Jesus Christ has. And it says in that Hebrews 3 in the beginning, in those first few verses, that Moses was a servant, but Christ is a son over his own house. And we are Christ's house. And it talks that we should therefore have confidence, rejoicing, and a firm hope. This is the house that Christ has built. Wonderful. Even when only two or three, or four or five of us, are gathered together in the name of Jesus Christ, he promises to be in the midst of us. What a wonderful place. Are you glad and thankful to God to be here? I'm not asking you about the decor, nor indeed about anything else of the nature of our service, except that we're meeting with the Lord. I know the other aspects of our worship are, we seek to do things right and in the right way, the best way we can. But the greatest blessing is meeting with the Lord. This must be the only attraction of the church, to come and glorify God. We must repent of other motives. All to the glory of God, all the boasting in him alone. The cornerstone of the Protestant Reformation of the 16th century, the greatest revival since the Acts of the Apostles, was Sola Deo Gloria. I don't know if I was sure if I pronounced that exactly, but it means when we're summarizing all of the everything we know about everything, and we can think of about Christ and the work and the fullness of Scripture, sufficiency of Scripture, and the Word of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, we say it's all to the glory of God alone. All to the glory of God alone. The Lord is the builder of this house. They accept the Lord build the house, they labour in vain that build it. And if we get in the way of that, if we go our way, we don't. There is a working with God, you see here. This is the wonderful thing. You wouldn't think, you think that the Lord would build it, he wouldn't trust us with any of it. But the builder is there. They're labouring that build it. See, on the one hand it says it's God that builds it, the other hand it says that we build it. See how we must be submitting to thy will, to the will of God, to build the Lord's house. What a thing for him to entrust us with. It's a very wonderful things up here with which we're dealing. The church, as often our friend Dr. Douse describes it from the references in the scripture, fitted together as stones. Now, we think of stones as rough old stones, but when we think of a building, the stones have got nice square smooth edges. They're like big versions of bricks, if you like, and they all lie neatly together, and they all fit perfectly together. And the Lord Jesus Christ is the chief cornerstone. That, if you just think of an arch coming across and the bricks coming up like that, you've got to have the scaffolding, fit the chief cornerstone in, and then you take the scaffolding away, and they all hold on to it. That's one description of it. And the Lord Jesus Christ holds us there, and we're all in place, all around, perfectly fit. What a wonderful church that would be, wouldn't it? Well, we know something of this blessing. In glory, we'll see it fulfilled fully. But we know something of it even now. The church is also described as being like the different parts of the body. They all fit together. Does the arm say, I don't need the leg? No, we know that we need all the parts of our bodies. And how we feel it when one of them is not quite working, perhaps. And so we're not to be independent. There's a great thing today, isn't there, for independence. But the building of the church is about dependence. We're to depend on each other. We depend on the Lord. But under him, he brings us together to help one another. And sometimes we might not feel like it. But this is the challenge. To love one another. And we're connected. How amazing it is. People of all different nations, different ages, in the church of God. Built as a body. Built as a perfect building. It's a wonderful picture. What a wonderful aim it is for us. This can only be the Lord's work. Such a work as the church of God. As Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now, briefly, the last application, which would be much briefer, is the nations also are built up. The word house refers to houses also of kings, kingdoms. So the greatest houses are those of kings. And of course, we're talking about the house of the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. And a nation must have a righteousness to be exalted. The greatest kingdom is that of Christ. His kingdom has no end. The descendants of kings may be defeated or conquered. But the Lord Jesus Christ has conquered in such a way that he will never lose his ground. All authority in heaven and earth is given to him forever. Therefore, nations should submit to Christ. It's not that the king should submit to the Pope. We should submit to Christ and encourage the work of the church. Britain has been greatly blessed with this in the past, and it's turning away from it now. And it's a great danger, and of which David was writing to Solomon, the Lord must build the house, the Lord must build this nation, all their labouring in vain, all their laws to try and bring about peace. The watchmen, they may be watching, but it's in vain. You can have as many policemen as you want, but except the Lord keep the city. They're labouring in vain. The watchmen are awake, but in vain. And it's a solemn warning to our country that just as the individual, the family, and the church must rely upon the Lord, the nation must do it. Of course, the church will always survive, whether the nation comes or goes, whether there's anti-Christian nation or not. But the greatest blessing to the nation is if it follows righteousness. That means it follows Lord Jesus Christ in its laws. David wrote also to Solomon in Psalm 22, and you see him there speaking of the concern for the needy that the king should have. And it points that also in that psalm to this great king of all. I believe it points also there to the Lord Jesus Christ. It says more than what Solomon could do as a king. Kings must look to the King of Kings. Our constitution in Britain, the Queen is meant to be under God. She's the governor of the church under God. And she's our Queen. And yet, these things are being bypassed. And all things are coming in. And it's not being upheld. And ungodly laws are being passed. What a terrible thing it is. We may look back to great days. But we must pray that God would again have mercy on our nation in the same way as we've known it personally. And as families. And as a church. that except the Lord build the house, they labour in vain that build it. We might ask what we may practically do, that we may be sure that our work is not in vain. What is the difference between a house built by the Lord and one built in vain? We may think that sometimes a person working without God is doing rather well, but we mustn't be jealous of them. We must be sure that what we do is done in sincerity and in truth, on the words of Christ, the words of the Scriptures. And there we can be sure that we're going the right way. It's not about the superficial issues. The real issue, are we honest to God? Building upon the rock that is Christ. It's easier to build on sand. It looks good. You can have a great big working big church built on sand. It looks absolutely wonderful, but it's sinking. And it's not going to be anything at all without that foundation. The day will tell, the final day will tell, when the Lord comes to judge. The Church of Rome, off in a puff of smoke or a big terrible fire, looks great now, the Vatican and the Pope's regalia, but it's dead. It's coming to nothing. It's ruined. We look small. We look like nothing. But the Lord will bless us. We believe. We are sure. Because we have nothing. We're just Christ alone. We trust on Him alone. Nothing. We seek to submit to the Scriptures. And there are many like us, thankfully, in little groups here and there, and some in big churches in different parts of the world as well. How costly it is to dig down. We found out on our house, having to dig down those extra feet and put in all that extra concrete. Oh, if we didn't have to do it, how much money it would have saved us. But we'd have lost the whole work would have been lost. It would have sunk down into the clay, and it would have been an absolute disaster. So the cost must be spent of repentance towards God, faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the only way on which to build an individual, a family, a church, and a nation. So we have plenty here, I trust, to be going on with. One preacher put it like this. He was presenting the truth of Jesus Christ. And he warned. I was talking about this being in vain for some people. He warned them. He said, you will have heard today of these things. And when you come to judgment day, if you haven't believed on the Lord Jesus Christ today, you look back and you remember how wrong you were. How your heart, that Psalm 95, that we say, harden not your hearts. It's very important for us to have a heart that's softened towards God's truth, so that we will not have the regret and the mourning and wailing in the day of judgment. We have plenty to be working on. We have a great hope, of course. The future, this is a final conclusion. I won't recap any more. Just a final example of Abraham. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 10. Abraham. He lived by faith as a stranger in the world. Didn't really have a home. He was going from one place to another. What was he looking for? Was he looking to build a big house for himself? Was he looking for a big family, a big church? He'd been promised that these things, the great things, he'd been promised. But it says in verse 10, when he was talking about he'd been living in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles or tents with his son, his grandson, who were the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. And we too battle on like Abraham. We look to eternity, to a great celestial city coming down from heaven, reserved in heaven for us, uncorruptible, undefiled, fadeth not away, whose builder and maker is God. Let us be sure that we're building on a solid foundation, and let us be encouraged, if we're going the right way, that the Lord is building. It's the Lord's work. Except the Lord build the house, they labour in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh
but in vain.